It's us.
Hi.
We're the podcasters.
It's us. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sam.
We're the Sibs. And you're listening to Swift and Swigs with Sibs.
That's right. This is the podcast where a brother and a sister discuss two of their favorite things, Taylor Swift and cocktails.
Every episode, we will choose a song from Taylor Swift's 200-plus song catalog. We'll each pair a cocktail with that song, and then we will break down our favorite musical mixology moments. Hey, Sam, are we ready for it?
I think we are.
Well, okay. Hello, Swiggies, and welcome to another episode of Swift and Swigs with Sibs. I am Rachel, and I'm here with Sam, and we are in a post, what world are we in? We're in a post-Melbourne era.
You know, I always thought that you were supposed to pronounce it Melbourne, but
wait,
Taylor Swift herself said Melbourne on stage.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, what she says goes, so.
I mean, yeah. Also, yeah. What she, you know, mashes together also seems to go. So yep.
Let's talk about that, Rachel.
Let's do that. So something new happened in the Eras Tour. Of course, that girl's got to keep us on our toes at all times. We're always tippy-toeing. And this time, she decided to surprise us with some mashed up songs together in the middle of her surprise song.
Yeah, segment. It's like her new thing, I guess, now.
I guess? I know, I'm just like expecting it now.
Well, I think she wants us to. She didn't do it in Tokyo at all, but she did it for two of the three nights. And I was so fortunate enough to be extremely ill the last few days, Rachel.
Congratulations!
Thanks. I basically just couldn't sleep for hours and hours on end. And I would like toss and turn all throughout the night. And at one point, I like woke up again and I was like, you know what? I might as well see what the live streams are doing on the Eras Tour right now. And I literally caught the moment that she picked up her guitar and started playing the mashup of Getaway Car. Well, we didn't know it was a mashup. She started playing Getaway Car, which I was like, oh my god.
I mean, that's already a gift.
It's insane.
It's always a gift.
And then August, which I'm like, oh my god. I can see this lost in and then the other side of the door, which like, oh my god. I mean, she's unhinged right now, Rachel.
I know. It's so interesting because August is already on the set list. So
yeah, we've never had that happen before.
There's a reason she like pulled those songs together. She isn't just like, oh, these are fun. What I thought was, for one, I really like this whole mashup concept because you and I all the time are always talking about, well, this song really connects to that song and that song connects to this song. And we even get like the chords of that sound like this song, or the cadence of that sounds like this. And so it's really fun to see her making those transitions as well. Not just themes, but maybe just like how they connect. But I was just really intrigued, like why August again? Like, what was she trying to say?
You don't know. I mean, to me, it's pretty obvious. Getaway Car, August, and the other side of the door are all about cheating.
I mean, yes, but so is, there's other songs.
I just think she's having fun, you know, like always. You know, this is one of those moments where I'm like, I don't need to look too much into it. I think our girl is just having a blast right now, and she's making up the rules as she goes. you know, this is her place. She makes the rules. And yeah, I love that for her. Yeah. And Melbourne was the biggest venue she's ever played, I think. It was like 96,000 versus 70,000. Yeah. So it was insane. Yeah, it was fantastic. She's going to Sydney next, and we'll see what kind of surprise song moments we get. But
it's fun to be back in this like surprise song like era. Like it's so silly. Like it doesn't mean a whole lot. It's just a song, especially at this point. Like we're either bound to get like a totally random one, or we're gonna start getting repeats, or we're gonna get these mashups or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's our, you know, that's our Melbourne updates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Eras Tour updates. Yeah.
All right. Let's move on.
Rachel, we didn't announce what episode number is this.
Yes, this is, you're listening to episode 62. And Sam, why don't you tell our listeners, before we get into the rest of the episode, where they can find us?
Oh, good call, Rachel. Yeah, so, you know, we would love to grow our podcast. And the best way for us to do that is with your guys' help. We encourage you, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, to leave us a review. We would love to read what you think, and we want to encourage you to let other future Swiggies know what they can expect from our podcast. Leave us a 5-star review wherever you guys are listening to your podcasts, basically is what I'm saying. And then be sure to give us a follow on our social media platforms at Instagram and TikTok. That would be @SwiftandSwigsPodcast on Instagram and TikTok. You can always send us an email at SwiftandSwigsPodcast@gmail.com. Of course, you can reference all of the content that we discuss on today's episode on our show notes at SwiftandSwigsPod.substack.com, where we were going to be posting our cocktail recipes and links to all of the deep cut topics that we bring up in today's episode.
Sounds good, bro.
If you are traveling internationally, I love to, you know, we always get a notice if there's a new country, and I love to mention the new country alerts. Best believe when I'm in Japan, Rachel, I will be listening to our podcast. That way I can say that we have a Japanese listener, but it's secretly me.
Perfect.
Those are the plugs. Anyways, we would love if you guys could help us grow this podcast and spread the love. So please do.
All right, Sam. I think it's time for us to get into some new shit.
I'm doing good. I'm on some new shit.
Okay, so I told you I was watching a bunch of like TV and movies this weekend. I don't even remember which movie this was in, but I heard this song in a scene, and like the people were like dancing to it. And
I like finding music that way.
Yeah, and I Shazammed it, and I really liked it.
That's such a millennial thing to do. I love it.
Is
it?
I think Shazam is the most brilliant feature of a smartphone.
I agree, but I feel like I love it too, but I feel like it's such a like thing that the Gen Zers make fun of.
Oh, well, they can make fun of it all they want.
I don't know how they get their music when they're like, what's this song?
Missing out.
I love doing it.
Okay, so I Shazammed it, and this song is by Flock of Seagulls, Rachel, the 1980s band.
Wow.
And the song is called Space Age Love Song. It's one of their most popular hits, but I don't think I'd ever heard of it before. The movie was like a modern movie, and I couldn't tell if this was a modern song or a song from the 80s, because the way that it was, the production was coming through, was like so crisp and clean, and there's so much 80s influence in modern music now. Which I love. I freaking love 80s music.
Yeah.
And same. But I was really delighted to know that it wasn't a modern song. It's actually like a classic 80s song. And it's got a really good beat, the guitars that are in there, and it's a very uplifting song.
Yeah.
it's a vibe, Rachel. I've been listening to it on repeat, and that's my new shit.
Fun.
Yeah.
That's a fun new shit.
For sure. What about you?
So I'm doing similar. I decided that due to our upcoming album release, Taylor is doing some collaborations with a couple of artists
who
I know, but I don't feel like beyond their like top hits, I know much about their music.
Yeah.
And I want to start exploring Post Malone and Florence and the Machine. Mm-hmm. So this week I started with Florence and the Machine.
Great. I did this as well, Rachel.
Oh, I love that. So what's exciting is just last year, Florence and the Machine released like a compilation album. I'm not sure if it's like something printed or whatever, but like a greatest hits, if you will, okay. Which is kind of funny. I'm like, have they been around long enough for a greatest hits? But okay. But that was helpful because I was able to kind of scroll through a lot of their discography just based off that album. And their most recent album, Dance Fever, has a lot of fun hits.
Yeah.
And I found a song that I feel like something just tells me that our girl Taylor like listened to this song and then it was like, I need to get Florence on this album, because the song is called My Love and it starts out like this. I was always able to write my way out. Song always made sense to me. Now I find that when I look down, every page is empty.
Mm. That's Taylor. That's Taylor-y.
Yeah. So what's interesting in this last Melbourne show, like when Taylor was talking about how excited she was about Torture Poets Department, she was talking about how more than anything, any other time in her life, she has needed to write this music in order to get through her life. I mean, we were just talking about that writing is therapy for her.
Yes.
And she really illustrated that. So this song by Florence the Machine kind of hints at that like writing has always been therapy for the narrator of this song. And now, but this person is struggling and trying to understand what to do with love. So tell me where to put my love. Listen, I am really enjoying their music.
Yeah.
Is it her music, their music?
Well, the Machine is the band, right? So Florence Welch and Florence and the Machine is like her whole band, right? So.
And the collaboration is not Florence, it's Florence and the Machine, right? Mm. So are we assuming it's the whole?
And if I'm wrong, if there's like some Florence and the Machine stands out there, that's my understanding of the Machine is the band, right?
Yeah, okay. But
if I'm wrong, please let me know.
Yeah.
Great. Love that. Okay, Rachel, it's time.
It's time.
It's time, not only in this episode, that we talk about the Swift of the Week, the song that we've chosen, but it's also just, in general, it's time in this podcast that we went there, right? Don't you think?
Right.
And
yeah, I think so.
I mean, let me just say it, Rachel. The song we're doing this week is Dear John. Dear John, I see it all now that you're gone. Don't you think I was too young to be messed with a girl in the... Where to begin? I think here's where I'll begin. I'm just going to begin by telling you why I chose this song for this week, okay?
Okay.
If you're new here, I am a huge John Mayer fan, and that has been a point of contention, not only on this podcast, but with many conversations I've had with Taylor Swift fans. Mm-hmm. And I knew at some point we would be discussing this song, and we've certainly discussed John Mayer in past episodes, and I've made my arguments, and, you know, and I will, for this episode as well, you'll see, I'm not going to defend John Mayer's actions because I do not agree with his actions, but I just want the record to show that I was a freshman in high school when I bought the CD, his debut CD, and I fell in love, Rachel, with that album, and John Mayer spoke to me the way that Taylor Swift was speaking to young girls. And because of that reason, he's always been one of my most favorite artists. I have sang his song at your wedding and our other sister's wedding.
Yes!
For the record. And that was your choice.
I was going to bring that up. It was my, okay. I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
So Sam sang Daughters, played guitar, and sang the song.
During the father-daughter dance.
Father-daughter
dance. At both of your weddings.
Was that my request?
Oh, I don't think I would have suggested I did that for you.
How did I know that you could do that?
Well, I had like bought the song book for that specific song and was playing it like all summer long and on guitar. And so maybe that's okay. How. But you know what?
I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
The point is, John Mayer has been a really, really important part of my life. And I wanted to specifically choose this song because I want to get it out of the way. And I was like, it's just time. We just got to do it. Also, we haven't done a track five. This is only our second track five we've done. And I think that, you know, they're intimidating to do. This song is very intimidating to discuss. So we just needed to rip off the Band-Aid. But also, when we did our episode 2 weeks ago on I Knew You Were Trouble, we got into a bit of a debate about John Mayer and Taylor Swift's relationship. Because we were speculating that I Knew You Were Trouble was about John Mayer. And I just thought it was an appropriate time to just kind of hash it out. But again, we're not really going to, I think we both agree, we're not going to like get super dramatic on this episode, I don't think. So I just thought that we needed to just formally address their relationship. And this is the original, like, deep cutting song about John Mayer. And there are more, and I'm sure we'll get to them, but...
I'm really excited. I've been wanting to do this song because I just love this song. And I think you and I can get into it. And I know I am very much influenced by some negative press that John Mayer receives.
Mm-hmm.
I take... I have a lot of, like, various... people in my ears from other experiences with John Mayer, and that really colors how I feel about him, and it makes me feel even more powerful and strong about my emotions about Taylor in this song. But what I want to challenge myself to do, and I think you can hold me accountable to that, is do what is actually a really important thing to do when you're a writer, and that is you're supposed to write your own story, not someone else's, okay? I want to look at this based on how Taylor was feeling and talk about the ways that Taylor was feeling. And so I'm just really excited for us to challenge ourselves to talk about the way that she wrote this song and the emotions behind it and the powerful, just like the powerful creative ways that she did it and that she got her point across.
Yes.
And with that, I feel like we need to pair that with a cocktail.
Oh, God.
Don't you think?
Say less, Rachel.
All righty. Sam, I struggle. The first thing I thought of was I think this cocktail needs to be bitter. And okay. I say that that feels like an easy fallback because I don't feel like this song is bitter per se, but there's definitely some bitterness going on there. I feel like there's a lot more power to the song and that Taylor really comes around to. But there's certainly some bitterness in here about how she was treated in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to lean into that bitterness. And I didn't go with bitters. I decided to go with Campari because to me, Campari is very bitter, sweet, if you will. Okay.
Sure.
And there is some sweet power to it. And so I've never done this cocktail before. I was really intrigued to do it. So it's a Campari sour. So Campari is the only, Campari is the main spirit of, which is an unusual. Usually Campari is kind of like an element to add with other spirits. It is a classic. It's a classic sour with Campari and lemon juice and simple syrup. And so that's already kind of like this stronger bitter, but there's definitely some sour sweet elements going on. But I wanted this cocktail to shine like fireworks.
Yes.
Over your sad empty town. Yes. Okay.
How'd you pull that one off?
Well, I didn't tonight because I didn't feel this wasn't a fireworks kind of night. But
yeah.
When I take a photograph of this, I'm definitely gonna see okay. if I can pull out some of my sparklers.
Yes, okay.
But to do that, you can add either some sparkling water, which is what I'm doing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That's your fireworks. Or you can add some champagne if you really just want to do it.
You love to add a little champagne to your cocktails. You have been on that kick lately.
Okay, I really have. And I don't know what, why? It's just like a...
I love it.
I think in the winter, I have less access to fresh ingredients that I really like to use. And so I'm drawn more to alcohol forward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Instead of leaning into various types of syrups of made of fruit and herbs and that kind of stuff. So I think that like I just add in layers of spirits. So here we go. This is shining like fireworks over your sad empty town. It's quite a mouthful.
Oh, that hurts, Rachel.
Yeah, it does.
It seems illegal to say those words and not like belt them out singing those words. Do you know what I mean?
Shining like fireworks over your sad empty town.
A little pitchy.
How's that?
We can work on that.
A little pitchy. That wasn't quite right, but whatever. Okay. What do you got, Sam?
Okay. What I wanted to do was not pull a lyrical reference and make a cocktail out of that, which is what I like almost always do. Mm-hmm. I wanted to, like you, kind of wanted to make a cocktail about the vibe. You chose the vibe of somewhat like bitter, right?
Yeah.
I kind of went a different direction. I wanted to paint the scene in the cocktail about what was happening that made Taylor and John decide to date each other, okay, in the first place.
Okay.
The liquor in this cocktail is an aged whiskey. It's got to be aged, right? It's got to be old, right?
Okay. We got something old.
So I had to use an aged whiskey to represent how old John Mayer is to Taylor, okay? So that's kind of painting the scene. But when they became a couple, I infused that whiskey with Butterfly Pea Flower, Rachel, because that's the Taylor Swift influence, is that purple, especially from Speak Now. But it wasn't so much about Speak Now. It was more about, like, I wanted a representation of Taylor in this cocktail, as one. And so it is a purple whiskey, essentially. And that's, like, the two of them together. Now, a little bit more about John Mayer in here. He's a Georgia boy. I made a peach simple syrup. So we've got the Butterfly Pea Flower whiskey with some peach syrup. Here's where I really wanted to represent the innocence of young Taylor Swift. I made it a snow cone drink as if it was like a child's drink, right? So okay. I followed what you did from the Snow on the Beach episode, which was actually kind of tricky. I blended ice cubes with water and made like shaved ice. That's kind of tricky, I'm not gonna lie. I wanted to like throw, again, this is stream of consciousness. I'm sorry, there's not a really cohesive thought here. But I wanted to represent like why was Taylor Swift attracted to John Mayer in the first place? And I just thought of like stardom and his shine, perhaps. And so I have this like glittery crystallized sugar that I dusted on top of the whole thing. Swiggies, as you're listening to this, you can't see it. If you follow our Instagram and TikTok, you'll be able to see us post about this and everything. But it is a very purple, slushy drink. And all that to say, Rachel, I think I'm going to call this cocktail Should Have Known. I want it to essentially represent that Taylor should have known better and John should have known better. So, should have known. Right. That was a lot.
I really love where you went with that, Sam.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Thanks. Well,
clink, clink. That's the beauty of these cocktails is like, yeah, like sometimes it's a feeling we get. Sometimes it's a very specific line in the song.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's just I wanted to make this cocktail, so I figured out how to
That's so true.
Make it work. Anyway, we've got our swigs, so that should help make this conversation go just a little bit more smoothly. Sam, you chose the song of the week. I would love for you to tell us what you feel is the spirit of Dear John.
Wow. Okay. So this song is like what Taylor never said to John Mayer in person following their relationship. It feels very much like she's venting about everything that was wrong about that relationship. And this is her way of doing that. The concept of Dear John, not only is it a song that she's addressing to her ex-boyfriend, John Mayer, but it's that term, Dear John, which is, what are they, Rachel? It's like a letter that was once written to break up with your soldier boyfriend, right?
Right. So that I think it was like really took off in during the World Wars. And there it be the term of like writing a letter to your, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, that was at war overseas. Mm-hmm. And to tell them that you were breaking it off with them, usually because there was someone back home
that you were more interested in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They call these Dear John letters. And
I mean, talk about a Taylor twist right off the bat, Rachel. Like,
absolutely.
Double meaning.
Like, it has a double meaning. It helps illustrate the style of the song that's coming. And it also illustrates what we are all assuming is the main character of the song.
Yes. The themes of this song, I wrote down resentment, contempt, sadness, and regret. And these are themes that Taylor Swift goes back to a lot in her songs, but this song puts them all together in one to me. And because of that, it's a track five, right? We know track fives to be the most emotionally vulnerable songs on the albums. Taylor's basically just calls John out for like everything he did. So it feels like because of that, it feels very venting. It feels very cathartic. And it's such a powerful song, I think, because of that. So
I think of this song the way that a mom might think about if this happened to her daughter, because she paints herself as a girl and she does that intentionally. It's very intentional, and we'll get into those, the lyrics. But I think I immediately, instead of thinking of myself as a girl, I started thinking about my daughter. Mm-hmm. And so I think sometimes I get these really powerful feelings of sadness and anger and whatever. And I feel for the girl that was Taylor experiencing this. Yeah. So I had to say that just to like color like what the spirit of the song kind of means to me. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be, like I said, it's going to challenge me to like make sure I'm not just like that. I'm just like thinking about her as the narrator instead of like all the outside elements in the song.
But on that note, Rachel, this is a long song.
It is.
By the way, I'm ready to get into musical mixology if you
want. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. This is one of, wait, sorry. For the longest time, up until All Too Well 10-minute version came out, you know, 2 years ago, this was the longest song in her entire discography. It's at, you know, just shy of 7 minutes. And I did a little research. I found it curious that in all of Taylor Swift's, the top 10 longest songs of Taylor Swift's discography, 6 of the 10 spots are occupied by Speak Now songs.
Speak Now.
Which just goes to show that she just had a lot to say. She had a lot to speak during this album, during this era. And these songs, well, no, I mean, yes, there's a lot to say, but it's also just like, there's just so much emotion behind these songs. And you certainly hear that emotion in this song. There's one really, like, the most important thing that I want to mention, and then you can take over your thoughts, is the fact that this song sounds like John Mayer's playing the guitar.
Absolutely.
And when the... Absolutely. I don't know if I will go back to this or not, but... So, the first time I ever heard this song was when Speak Now Taylor's version came out. I chose not to listen to it until I could stream Taylor's version. And I finally sat down with this. It was highly anticipated. And all I knew about this song was that it was, you know, a track 5, and it was pretty gut-wrenching about John Mayer. Nobody prepared me for what it was going to sound like.
Oh, wow.
But he has a style of playing guitar that when I first listened to it, I was like, what a coincidence. And then I, you know, like, I thought about it. I was like, there's no coincidence that...
Is there any coincidence with Taylor Swift?
And I haven't looked up, like, the credits. I don't know who's credit. Maybe it's Paul, her guitarist. But there's so many electrical guitar riffs throughout this song that it sounds like it's stripped directly out of a John Mayer song.
Specifically that it reminded you?
So I actually reached out to my one of my buddies who also loves John Mayer, and I was like, can you listen to this Taylor Swift song real quick, and what do you think, like, which John Mayer songs is this reminding you of? Because I couldn't put my finger on it. So I think overall it's the style, but if I'm gonna choose a specific song, I would say it's the song Gravity. Yeah, you know it. Yeah.
There was another song. I mean, there's a couple of songs that connected to this. There's Dancing in a Burning Room.
Well, that was the other example, Rachel. That was the one that my friend gave me. He said, well, it's kind of giving slow Dancing in a Burning Room. It's a very sneaky way of writing the music of this song.
It's bold. It's bold. To tell the story and use his own music to tell it. Like, it's, as he called it embarrassing, which I think that is an interesting word to use, but I thought it was pretty clever.
Those are my notes on musical mixology, Rachel. I've got a few other notes, but I want to hear what you have to say.
My favorite parts are the bridge, because there is an emotional state that comes through with the words, but there's definitely a powerful emotion and a shift in her awareness that happens during that bridge. The bridge does exactly what it's supposed to, and so I love that. But what you said this was the longest song. I think what I love is that she takes her time with the music. She takes her time telling the story, and there actually isn't a lot of words. We've had lyrics. We've had songs with a lot more lyrics before. There's a lot of things that are repeated. It's the music that she spends her time. Yes. And we already talked about it, but, like, that's part of the storytelling here. It's like she lingered in the sound of that music because she wanted you to notice that. Like, she didn't want that to be the background sound. She wanted to be that, to be part of the story. And I think it's an important part of the story because Taylor Swift was a John Mayer fan for years. She listened to him. She looked up to him. She respected him. She very much was looking forward to meeting him. And that is why it makes their relationship such a very challenging power dynamic. Because she knew his musical style and she probably really learned from his musical style. And it could have stayed that way. It could have stayed as a mentorship.
Could have, should have, would have.
But but something else happened. And she was wooed into a relationship. And we're about ready to get into how she would tell the story of that relationship.
So the relationship happened, and then the relationship ended. And the information that we have about what that relationship was is told through these lyrics, Rachel.
Yeah.
So let's get into the Taylor with a Twist, where we're going to dissect these lyrics, these diaristic, these deeply confessional, these, you know, direct from the heart lyrics that Taylor wrote. I mean, one of her most vulnerable songs of all time.
This is definitely a fountain pen song, Sam.
It's so this fountain is, pen. There's no glitter gel going
nope,
on here.
No glitter. There's no quill. There's just some deep journalistic storytelling. So I'll start reading the first verse.
All right, go for it.
Long were the nights when my days once revolved around you, counting my footsteps, praying the floor won't fall through again. And my mother accused me of losing my mind, but I swore I was fine.
My interpretation of these first few lines is that she's painting the relationship in a positive way. I think she's setting it up for us to like picture that it was good. Counting my footsteps, praying the floor won't fall through again. I interpret this as being her recognizing her past relationships and how they have failed, rather than she's walking on eggshells with John Mayer. I feel like she's in a state of bliss right now, and she doesn't want the floor to fall through again like it did with John, or with Jake Gyllenhaal, with Joe Jonas, with the Picture to Burn guy, you know? Mm. Like, that's my thinking, is that she's, fingers crossed, that she's hopeful that this won't go that way with John.
I have a different perspective. Long were the nights immediately made me think of She's Up at Midnight, like pacing. This is yet another midnight for her.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
Why is she up in the night? Because your days revolved around you. I see how you could say that could go either direction. In my negative mind, I'm saying like everything revolved around him. Like,
because, yeah, I can see that.
Because she was counting her footsteps. She doesn't sound. If you're counting your footsteps, praying the floor won't fall through again, you're walking on eggshells. You're anxious. Now, is that because she has had failed relationships in the past and she's waiting for this? I think this was still a hopeful phase of Taylor's life. Like, I think Taylor got a little bit more closer to Joe era when she was a little bit like, I don't, even like Harry Styles, she was a little bit like, I don't know, I don't want this to be another bad relationship, another blank space to write your name next to.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was still, she's 19. She's still very young. She's barely had a very serious relationship. And even saying, like, my mom told me I was losing my mind, but I swore I was fine.
Oh, well, that's, yeah, I should have brought that up. And so I think that's, like, in continuation, my mother accused me of losing my mind, but I swore I was fine. I think she's still in this mindset in this part of the song where she's not only convincing herself, but maybe convincing the listener that things are okay.
But she swore she was fine. Like that sounds like I wasn't certain I was fine. I wasn't, but but then I was fine, but I knew I was fine, or even fine. Now it rhymes with mind, but like even fine is not a very like.
It's one of those things you're going to say to your mother when your mother disapproves.
Mom,
of
I'm fine.
Dating.
Mom, I'm Leave fine. Leave me alone. Right? Yeah, you're right. That's totally a great thing to say.
You know, and yeah. I think she did. And of course, she wanted it to work. She was dating John Mayer. Like, how cool do you think she thought she was for doing that? Not so much that she thought she was cool, but like, how cool would that have been for her, for someone like her to date somebody that she idolizes?
Someone that she idolizes, and to have her, I mean, we know her. She thinks dreamy thoughts. Like she yeah. goes there, right? And so she was like, isn't this perfect? This like wonderful guitarist and musical artist and me and my career just taking off. Like, what a beautiful love story that is. Ooh.
You think. You would think. Keep going, Rachel, with this, the next part of the verse.
You paint me a blue sky and go back and turn it to rain. And I lived in your chess game, but you change the rules every day. Wondering which version of you I might get on the phone tonight. Well, I stopped picking up, and this song is to let you know why.
So, we've hinted at this. She was 19, he was 32. That's near almost twice her age. That is a lot of difference. And so I think, you know, and we kind of had this argument, but
yeah,
he had this power trip over her because he knew he could control her, as if that's what he needed to do. Maybe that's just like how he is in his relationships. I don't know. But for her, she felt like she was just a pawn in the game that she didn't know how to play because he kept changing the rules, right? Or just when he did something really sweet and nice, like painting her a blue sky, he switched and he made it rain on it. And then wondering which version, like, she's just so confused. Like, who is this man? Why is he changing a lot? Why is he manipulating me? Why is he so inconsistent? It reminds me of the bridge of We Are Never Getting Back Together, where she's like, this is exhausting, you know? Like,
yes. Yeah. Like, I mean, it does. It sounds exhausting. It sounds right. like you would be walking on eggshells. And it's one thing for a grown woman to recognize that and see that and say, you know what? I don't need to take this. Thank you. Goodbye. But this was a young girl who was still trying to make her way through the world and was trying to learn who she was.
Yeah, and she's heavily influenced by pretty much anybody in the industry, especially anybody someone who's got years on her in the industry.
I must say, I do think it's a pretty accurate representation of Taylor Swift at that time. I think that's a pretty good representation of a lot of 19-year-old girls at that time. I think you are 22 girls in one. You are someone who's trying to figure out who you are. And that is the point of your early 20s, is to try to figure out which of those people that you want to be. And he was able to kind of just like manipulate that because he was had a power dynamic. And this sounds like this is not just something that he did with her, but that he did this with a lot of other relationships. And I say this saying it sounds like I'm a lot of my information I'm pulling from Jessica Simpson's memoir, and that's like she gave the most report of their relationship and the kind of person that he was in a love kind of relationships, and it's very similar to this like kind of game.
Can't say I've read that memoir. Can't say I'm going to either, but
you have to, but it's really powerful and pretty scathing. We do get here, well, I stopped picking up in this song is to let you know why, that
yes,
Taylor figured out, and we're going to learn more what she did to figure that out, but she figured out and ghosted him, like, before we really even had the word for ghosted. She just, like,
yeah, stopped. So that's what the song implies, but is that really what happened? I mean, or is that just that? I'm asking, like, do we have facts about how they broke up? Or, like, how even long was this relationship?
No. Okay. The only
thing... really all we have is this lyric where I stopped picking up the phone. This song is to let you know why. I find it really hard to believe that John Mayer was calling and calling and calling Taylor Swift. And she was like, no, I'm not going to answer it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like she was still so smitten and heartbroken at the same time that she would have at least talked. I just assumed, like, I don't know who broke up with who. Like, it clearly was toxic, right? But in this song, she's giving herself the power that she's basically saying, you were calling me, I stopped picking up because you were driving me crazy and not in a good way. This song is to let you know why. And then we get into the song. I mean, that's just the first verse, but...
Yeah. So, no, we don't know what happened. All we know is she's saying, I got sick of it, and I stopped talking to you, and here's why.
And here's why, Rachel.
Yeah, keep here's going. Tell me why.
Figurative letter, right? So, yes. The chorus here. Dear John, I see it all now that you're gone. Don't you think I was too young to be messed with? The girl in the dress cried the whole way home. I should have known. Cheers. Should have known.
Should have known. Cheers.
This first chorus is pretty just simple. You know, I see it all now that you're gone. Don't you think I was too young to be messed with? Is a powerful lyric. But it's these are things that, like, she knew going into it. She knew she was young. She knew he was old. But now that he's gone and she's reflecting on all the negatives, she sees it all now, right? Oh, don't you think I was too young to be messed with? Like, you messed with me. But yes, you were too young to be dating a guy nearly twice your age. But I think that's not the point of this lyric. Her point is, I was too young to be messed with. She didn't sing, don't you think I was too young to date? No. It was the fact that you messed with me.
I have a really hard, the thing I have a really hard time with, and we're not going to get in what it could have, should have, but I see a lot of subtly not saying that he was her first.
Yes, that's important to bring up without actually having facts.
We don't have facts, and it's really hard. I don't like to talk about people's, like, sexual lives unless they're like, we were, sure, you know, wrapped up on the bed in the sheets. Like, okay, we can talk about that. Yeah. She doesn't say that, but she does hint at this, and we know now it's a powerful thing, and that is a powerful thing to take from somebody. And that is the point that this is where I just cannot get past that, because it sounds like he knew the facts he had coming into this. He knew how she felt about him. He could have said, I'm too old because you're too young to make this choice. No.
I thought we assumed that Jake Gyllenhaal was her first because the red scarf that she left at his sister's place represents her virginity.
And I left my scarf there at your sister's house and you've still got it.
Right?
What? That's what we thought until we got woulda, coulda, shoulda, and then that one really just, like...
In that song, she sings, give me back my girlhood, which I think you're interpreting to be virginity. And absolutely, it could definitely be interpreted as that. But I also just seem to think of it, girlhood, as more than just virginity. It's the concept of youth and fragility.
Okay, to bring it back to the song.
Yes.
The note that is happening here is that she is hitting hard to remind us that she is young. The girl in the dress cried the whole way home. She is using words that speak to innocence. Girl, dress. I know we have dress in much older sexual ways, but there's some, the way that she pairs those two together, there's just something about you, like, immediately see this just, like, sad girl, like, in her little dress.
I wonder if this line and maybe others in this song are referencing something that John and only John would understand. Mm. Like, I think the girl in the dress cried the whole way home. I think, like, was it in like event? Like, which event? Like, which paparazzi picture do I need to look for?
We don't know. We don't have, this isn't like blue dress on a boat situation.
No.
Like, that we, so we don't really have a lot to go on.
I'd like to think that there are specific things that only John is going to understand. Like, this song was so clearly meant for him, like less than for her fans. Do you know what I mean? Like, this,
yeah,
this was just her way. This was truly a letter for him. And so there are lines in this song, like, you know, I wonder if only he understands what she's talking about.
That's so fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. Fascinating, I guess. Well, Rachel, let's move on to the
second
verse. All
right, we gotta keep going. So she ends the course with "I should have known," and we're about to find out what should she have known. Okay, it was almost, it's a slight moment of taking the blame.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe it's me and my blind optimism to blame, or maybe it's you and your sick need to give love and then take it away.
Damn, she's starting to like really jab at him now. So. I love how she starts that, where she's
where
just
it
like,
flips.
Yeah, it flips for sure. Like, maybe it's me. This is where.
Maybe it's me.
I'm like,
maybe.
Yeah, Taylor, finally, you take some accountability, right?
You know, Sam's like, yeah. And Rachel's like, Sam, hold up.
And then she's like, or maybe it's you and your sick need, you twisted freak. Like, that's kind of what she does here.
To give love and take it away.
Yeah, which kind of goes back to the whole thing, like, where he painted a blue sky and then made it rain, right? Like, he was giving love and then he took it away. My blind optimism. That's such an interesting, that's like a beautiful string of words, right? Blind optimism.
Blind optimism to blame. Those are some beautiful, like, alliterations happening there.
I want to, like, break this down. Like, optimism, but blind. Optimism is blind to me. So maybe that's all it is.
I think the blind, okay, so blind means to like block you from seeing what you should see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's important. You can be optimistic, like, I know that this could end well, terribly, but I'm hopeful. Or you can be blindly, have blind optimism, which is like, no, I believe this will be great. I don't see all the terrible things that you're doing over there.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, and then the jabs continue with...
here we go, yeah.
And you'll add my name to your long list of traitors who don't understand. So this line is interesting to me because she's implying that he has a list of traitors, as in people who have betrayed him. Mm-hmm. Is that what she's saying? Like,
well,
like he's the traitor.
Here's an interesting... So Taylor knows his music. And in 2006, he had the song we've already referenced, Slow Dancing in a Burning Room, where he's saying, you'll be a bitch because you can. You try to hit me just to hurt me, so you leave me feeling dirty because you can't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Taylor knew the way that he speaks about ex-lovers, which is like, y'all are a bunch of idiots and you just take cheap shots at me. And... so that's kind of what she's saying. You'll just add my list to a long list of traitors that you just say, no, no one understands me. It's just all, it's all their fault. They're just traitors. Like they said they love me and now they're just like talking bad about me.
Like it's dramatic, right? Like he would consider them all to be
she's
traitors.
She's not calling herself a traitor. She's saying like he has this long list of traitors of women.
Yeah. I feel like traitors should be in quotation marks, right? Like that's kind of what I'm getting from the implication of how she's singing this. You're long, like, it's not like she's saying that he has a list of traitors. It's like he has a list that he calls traitors at the top, right?
Yes,
that's his
yes.
list that yes. he's titled mm-hmm. traitors. And I'll look back and regret, there's that word, how I ignored when they said run as fast as you can. Rachel, the first time I heard this song, this was the line that really got me.
Run as fast as you can, dear John.
Because you just feel that regret when she sings,
yes.
run as fast as you yes. can. And how she's saying they said, like, multiple people warned her. It wasn't just her mother. Like, yes. He had a reputation, and yes. It preceded him, and it was not good.
No.
Like, so obviously people, not only in her family and her friend circle, probably in the industry as well, were like, oh, no, this is not good for this young starlet. This is not, you should run as fast as you can. And she regrets how she ignored all of that. And again, of course, she ignored that because she was, I don't know if starstruck is the right word, but she was swooned. She was smitten. She was dating the John Mayer.
Yeah, she had blind optimism.
Blind optimism.
And I'm going to connect it once again to Better Man when she said the bravest thing I ever did was run.
Yeah, but she didn't in this song, did she?
And then this song, well, she is. She's about to. We're going to get there.
I don't think she ran from John Mayer, though. She ran to John Mayer. And she...
Well, okay, she did at first.
Yeah.
She did at first. But we're going to get into how she did eventually run. Mm. We're about to get into that. Should we get into our chorus? We're going to get a double chorus here.
Love a double chorus. Love an add-on chorus.
All right. And we get some twists here, too. So this is going to be interesting. Dear John, I see it all now that you're gone. Don't you think, blah, 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 cried the whole way home. Okay, same thing.
Excuse me. Do not say blah, blah, blah. Do not. This song deserves better than that.
Okay, sorry.
What you mean to say is, we have already read this part.
Exactly. Yada, yada, yada over the best part. Okay.
The girl in the dress cried the whole way home. Instead of saying, I should have known, she goes back into it by saying, Dear John, I see it all now. It was wrong.
Major plot twist.
And then, not don't you think I was too young, but don't you think 19's too young?
19. Don't you think 19's too young
to be played by a dark, twisted game? It's almost like she wants this to apply to his future with other 19-year-olds. Like... It before it was, don't you think I was too young? She's not making this about her anymore. She's making this about the concept of, you know, what's the term? Grooming in general, right?
Yes.
With like any 19-year-old. Don't you think that age in general, which you've kind of brought this up, like,
yes,
that's too young for anybody to be messed
maybe
with.
Maybe stay away from 19.
Yeah, 19-year-olds is just not who you should be going for. Don't you think? Yeah,
it's not me. It was the situation here. Like, that's too young to be played by your dark, twisted games when I loved you so.
Yes.
I should have known.
So the end of both of those choruses is I should have known. And I think that's just like, oh, she's just like, she's regretting. I think it means like, I should have known better.
I think I should have known that you didn't know.
That
it's almost like
there are so many ways that could be. I should have known that you didn't know. I should have known because everybody warned me.
Everybody told me this is how you are.
I should have known better. I should have known not to do, right? Like,
I should have known it was going to be wrong. Like, I should have known that you weren't going to be different.
Right. Yes.
All right. It's bridge time.
Oh boy, is this a bridge or is this a bridge, Rachel? Woo!
I love it so much.
I think for me, it's all about the emotion of the delivery of these vocals, of these lyrics in this bridge. I mean, the lyrics are phenomenal, but it just...
The incredible power of this bridge is that it doesn't... It's not taking us deeper into the sadness... It's lifting us out of it. It's lifting her out of that and giving the power back to her by the time we get to the end of this bridge. You are an expert at sorry and keeping the lines blurry, never impressed by me acing your tests. All the girls that you've run dry have tired, lifeless eyes because you burned them out.
Damn. Oof. Talk about a burn, baby. Wow. Wow. I too have tired, lifeless eyes right now. I mean, look at my eyes. Yeah, that, I mean, she takes some punches in this for sure.
It's, and it's similar to how she's already mentioned, like what he's did. Like, I was trying to do the things you wanted and I didn't, you know, you kept it blurry. Blah, 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 blah. And all the other girls are also just as dead because they all told me, they warned me. But now she's going to tell you what she did differently and how she's not like those other girls.
Mm-hmm.
Because I took your matches before fire could catch me. So don't look now. I'm shining like fireworks over your sad empty town.
I'm shining like fireworks over your sad empty town.
And then she just keeps going. Okay, that's what's incredible. I didn't mention this in musical mixology, but she carries that note for long.
Yes, that's why it's like so powerful.
So long. And this, Sam, this is her saying, like, I am gonna rise above this freaking thing. Like, I got myself out of this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting emotional because I remember feeling this way about the Eras tour and realizing, like, how many fucking times has this girl rise from the ashes like a phoenix? I know she's exhausted. I know you are.
Yeah.
But how many times does she rise from the ashes and make it beautiful? Like,
yes.
She turns the pain into beauty, like fireworks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so freaking amazing.
It's so amazing. This is one of my, like, favorite lines of all time of any song. I think it's
so good.
And you perfectly described it. It's like fireworks is a beautiful display, and it's what is the most exciting thing of any public event, and it's gorgeous and it's celebratory and it's owning power. And she's doing that over your sad empty town. She regains the control. What's the word I'm looking for? She takes control of the sadness and the heartbreak and puts herself into, like, basically the leadership role here, where she flips the narrative and she's like, I'm bejeweled. You know, I go back to the bejeweled concept a lot.
But all the time, but it's true.
Yes, yes. But not only is that line beautiful, it's the way she delivers it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just goes into with the
and you think the song is, like, you think that that would be enough. She's going to give us one more blow. Because she's about to go into her chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, you know, you're getting the same words, the same yada, yada, yada. Don't you think I was too young to be messed with? The girl in the dress. Was she crying all the way home? No, she was not, Sam. No, what was she doing?
Oh.
Wrote you a song. Which is good enough already, because we know the girl loves it when she says, oh, I wrote a song. Like, she has said that so many times. You should have known.
Yeah, I mean, it's so Taylor to be like,
that
well,
is what is so incredible.
It's like, this is what I do. I mean, there's been so many
you
interviews.
You should have known if you were going to treat me like this. I was going to write a damn song about it. You should have known. And it brings it right back around to, like, the narrator and herself as, like, this is how, remember, this is how I tell my story.
Right, right.
And this is going to be a very important conversation to have as we get into the torture poets department, because there's going to be a lot of interesting elements that'll come up of, like, what stories do you tell? Well, this is how she tells her side of the story. if you're going to date Taylor Swift, I mean, we even brought this up in Endgame when Ed Sheeran said, like, you know, I'm going to write about like the good and the bad and the whatever. Like, he said that too.
Mm-hmm.
So he should have known. And also John Mayer should have known because he's a songwriter who does the exact same.
Oh, God. Absolutely, Rachel. Yes. And that's, I think, the ultimate twist of this song is she changes it from I should have known, I should have known, I should have known to you should have known. And now that implies that's a different meaning now. It's like
totally different.
You should have known better. You should have known not to do that to such a young woman. You should have known I would have written a song about you and, you know, defamated you. And she repeats it at the end. You should have known. Don't you think I was too young? You should have known.
Should have known.
And that's how the song ends.
You should have known.
Oof. Yeah. You're right. I mean, the lyrics are great. It's such a heavy hitting song, I think, because it's so long and so emotionally powerful. But lyrically, that didn't take us as long as I thought it would, to be quite honest. There's something about this song, and this is coming from a John Mayer fan, but it's just, to me, seems more personal, I think, than All Too Well. That can't be right. All Too Well is so personal. I don't know what it is, Rachel. I've seen conversations online about how many people rank this song above All Too Well as her best track five, and it doesn't get the attention that it deserves. I mean, Dear John is, you could almost consider it an underrated song. I know a lot of people love the song, but it does not get the attention like All Too Well. But I think it is on the same pedestal as All Too Well. What are your thoughts on that? I know you love All Too Well, but
I do. I think it's better than the original All Too Well. I think we got a lot more emotion from All Too Well 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to separate the two since that's what we know now. I think the stories were different. And this is why I think that there is something else going on. Like, I think John Mayer was a lot more manipulative than Jake Gyllenhaal. And so, while I think there weren't a lot of warning signs about Gyllenhaal the way that there were about John. And so that maybe this song is about there were warning signs that I didn't listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But Jake Gyllenhaal was, oh, there weren't any signs and this came out of nowhere. And those are kind of two different feelings that happen.
I get the impression that she fell in love with Jake. Yeah. Whereas John,
I don't think she had time. I think she was just like impassioned and perhaps tricked to what it could have been. And I don't think it got in there. And I think she felt tricked in Jake, but I think it was more like, wait, we had something. And then it just, or I thought we had, whatever. This isn't All Too Well, but I do think there's a different feeling of emotion. And I think this one was, I think there's something about that girlhood. I think that was taken from her. I think the fact that was taken from her is a bigger deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, stay tuned for our episode on would have, could have, should have. we'll get further into that. But until then, Rachel, I guess that's Dear John, isn't it?
It is.
Wow.
Okay.
Any last thoughts before we move on?
No, I think it's time to move on. Sam, we should have known that this podcast was going to be a doozy. it was great. I know you're about to ask me what song we're doing next. And dear Sam, I see it all now that we're done, what I should do.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I feel like I'm kind of, this was heavy and I don't want heavy.
Good call.
I just want to forget these guys existed.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I was like soon to choose this song. I love it. Rachel, what song are we doing?
I Forgot That You Existed.
Oh, that's so good. So good.
I think that's a great way to kind of like follow this like super heavy, I did not forget you at all that you existed.
I mean, so true. What, there's no better song to follow up Dear John than that. Oh, I love a track one, Rachel. I love.
There we go. Opening
love, up Lover. Love it. Oh, good. Good call, Rach. Good call. Can't wait for that. Swiggies. Maybe it's me and my blind optimism. Or maybe it's our sick need to want you to give love and not take any of it away by coming and finding us over on the internet, which you can do at Swift and Swigs Podcast on Instagram and TikTok by sending us an email at swiftandswigspodcast@gmail.com, by tuning into our show notes at swiftandswigspod.substack.com, and by giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Rachel, I'm really glad that Dear John is over and done with, because it's been a burden. It's been a weight on my chest, and we have gotten it off our desk. So
we did it.
I'm really glad we did that. And my cocktail was delicious. How was yours, by the way?
It was lovely.
Great. Well, cheers.
Clink, clink, clink
to that. Until next time.
Let's just have some fun next time.
Let's do it.
Cheers, Swiggies.
Cheers.